from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If loving Gogi is wrong, I don't want to be right.
What would Socrates say to that?
It tickles my fence.
Okay.
Goosies.
I don't have hair!
Oof.
You got Marcos.
That's not.
Wait.
Yeah, that's true, you do got me. Get over here, Marcos. Let me look at you.
They don't want it!
Tobin and Leroy, ready to deploy. Had to hit it with a little journalism, but that was a decoy. Better have about me, boy. Okay, Leroy and Tobin, hold to the show, man. Stairs on the songs with the show, man. Till then, it's half moon open. Sometimes go taste like a snowman. No proof, I'm a liar, better more than. No proof. Like I always wanted him, I never hated him. I never traded him, and if I did, I never traded him. You know what? What is a star? Like under the city, the driver's side fly. Goose like a large, so many more. 10 in the mar, never a bar. Hey, 10 in the mar, 2 to the P. Nothing to you, but it's something to me. Handsome as ever. Cute as can be, you can watch this on YouTube review for French. This one time for the Twitch, this one time for the text, this one time for the phone line, whole time wonder what they gonna do next.
You know, I just wish you guys would stop the quibbling.
Morning, everybody! Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. Hello, Jennifer!
Yes.
Wow!
Yeah.
Hey, you're actually here on time.
Frog boy.
And she was here like 3 minutes ago. It's not even like she took advantage of the 10:04 start.
Get your web from in Frontier.
It's very gross. What is he doing? Here he goes.
Yep. If we flash a light, can we see through
here he goes with one of his bits that's only for the video audience. Here he goes. Marcos is wearing a Rey Mysterio luchador mask with is that a Miami Dolphins logo on the side of that?
I don't know who this Marcos is, brother, but you're talking to Lucha Frog.
Why are you doing a Macho Man then?
It's like more of a Hulk Hogan Macho hybrid because I said brother. It is Lucha Frog.
Oh wow! You seem like you've been inspired yesterday by attending Monday Night Raw.
Lucha Frog returns with the music. I forgot to play the music the first time.
He's gonna rip it. Yeah.
Here we go, dude.
Do you go to Rockville?
I've been to Rockville a couple times as well, and I'm also Batman.
Is your finishing move the Frog Splash? You go
yes,
RVD style?
It is. It is indeed the Frog Splash. Yeah, man. I am inspired, dude.
Wow.
I am feeling like a world champion.
You went to a birthday showing of Monday Night Raw last night at the Cat's House.
Yes, I did.
And you had did you hobnob your way and sneak your way down again?
I did. Okay, so I got good seats.
Did you just first of all,
got to do the Odyssey suite. I was there with John Holges.
Oh.
So he had his kids. Vlad was there as well in attendance.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I got a couple Odyssey peeps there, all big wrestling fans. And then I got to Hobnom my way.
How does he do this? How does he always sneak his way down?
Yeah, it was fun.
You were sitting like ringside by the end of it, I saw on Instagram.
For sure.
How'd you do that?
This was crazy.
I don't know.
I'm still trying to figure out how you go to all these places, and then mysteriously you're in the thick of everything.
It's weird. Yeah. He's a hobnobber.
It's true.
I try to avoid it and end up there.
Yeah.
But you, like,
he works his way down. So, like, all right, what was the highlight of the night?
All right, so things started with a legend. First person to come out, we're setting things off right. It was Randy Orton.
You
know, people know Randy Orton.
Of course.
You know, whether or not you're a casual or not, you kind of recognize that face.
RKO out of nowhere.
It was amazing. The energy was amazing. And also, what was kind of cool is right before we went live on television, they're like, we're 30 seconds away from live TV. And everyone just started getting antsy. It's like, oh,
crazy.
We're going to be on TV.
Was the crowd sold out?
It was. Yeah, it was sold out. It was everything, even the nosebleeds, all the way up in the nosebleeds. It was pretty good. A couple people I didn't recognize, but it was a fun time. Even if you didn't recognize them, it still was like, this is a fun experience.
Bobby Lou was there. We were just watching his interview with CM Punk before the show started today.
Bobby Lou was there. Robbie Lawler was there as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was trying to get the picture.
I would say Robbie Lawler is my favorite MMA fighter of all time.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Okay. He is so entertaining. And a great dude.
Yeah.
A great dude.
That's like, usually greatness in the fight game comes with a little crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And to get both, that was the cool thing about DC.
Yep.
Right? But he had his one guy.
Or
if you say something bad about the Saints, he will cuss.
I remember Robbie, though, like in his prime of his career, couldn't get two words out of him because he was just like kill mode.
Oh.
I remember I got a chance to talk to him. He was going into the Hall of Fame for the Rory McDonald fight, and it was his retirement fight. I forget who he beat, but he knocked somebody out, and it was like nobody ever gets to go out on top like that.
Yeah.
But I remember talking to him the week of, and he was just so cool. Like he was reflective. He was happy. Like almost could see like, whew, the fight career is like it's finally come to an end. He just felt like he let his guard down. But very cool guy. Friends with UD too.
Nice, man. Well, so then it was an obvious local connection. Someone had asked me, "Does he live here?" And I was like, "I don't know." A lot of people train down here. So
he lives in Coconut Creek, and he works at the Deerfield Beach Killcliff Gym, I think.
I don't know why. Afterwards, though, I was like, "Is Gilbert Burns here?" But I don't know. I just wanted all
might have been. Well, he's getting ready for a fight. He might not be. Yeah. He's got a fight in soon.
He might be in the fight place.
Yeah, he might.
Yeah, you know, as he should. It was a Monday night, so I get it.
Who was the main event?
The main event
was Tua there.
I didn't see Tua, unfortunately. I didn't see any Dolphins or Heat players. I had my eyes peeled.
Get ready to leave and go to...
They got practice today, though. I'm not leaving until this afternoon.
Trust me, Mike McDaniel never missed a game. I'm sure that it's possible.
Mike McDaniel didn't go.
Me too.
Me too. So early.
I'm more interested in this Tua, like, this Tua thing.
What?
Like, first of all, let's be clear.
Oh, the Brian Flores thing?
Oh, yeah.
Tua did not say anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
All he basically said, and I've said something along these lines too, is that, hey, as fans, do you think your team has a better chance of turning it around with you booing them or cheering them? I've said that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and he kind of said the same thing, but closer to home with coaching. And everybody says he criticizes Flores. That's not criticizing. That's more like life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, things work.
It is criticizing from, like, it's not like he's criticizing him as a coach. He's criticizing him as a person. He called him a terrible person.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't like, this is not an individual he likes. Nothing that we didn't
know.
But
and Flores acted like he felt the same way about Tua, so it's no shocker.
Nah, well, that's the thing, is Flores kind of came out phony-ish afterwards, because he was on, I think it was Brandon Marshall's podcast, and he goes, no, we got a good relationship. Go ask and ask Tua.
No.
And, like, we all knew, because, like, I remember, you know, those press conferences every week I went to those things, and he was like, Tua's our quarterback. Tua's our quarterback.
Right.
You can't just state a line of something that's fact and think that's a level of support.
It's pleading the fifth.
Right. And I think that, listen, the only problem that I have with all this, your coaching style is your coaching style. But as a head coach, it is your first and foremost job to get the most out of the talent that you have on the team. And I just felt that was counterproductive.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why wouldn't you be trying to get Tua to be and it sucked even more because, like I said, when he got drafted, nobody thought he was playing the first year. We all thought he was going to rehab, be on the, and be redshirted. And it was like, hey, he doesn't even – remember we had the conversation. I said, you sure you want to draft Tua? He's a little hurt. He doesn't even have to play the first year. That was the whole conversation. Nobody thought. Then all of a sudden, boom, Tua's playing.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost seemed like – and this is where I think the issue came. It almost seemed like Flores didn't want to play him and somebody said he's healthy enough to play. And so that's where the kind of pettiness came from Flores to Tua. It might not have been that. It might not have been Flores who said, go in and play.
So, I think it's one of these things where, yeah, maybe. I mean, I can't rule that out, but I also think that his track record wasn't a very patient guy. So,
you're not patient.
You know, so like, and that's the thing is, if people want to talk about his coaching style, and it's like, I don't think this is a coaching style. I think this is how you deal with people. And if you're hosing everybody down, and by the way, Tua wasn't the only one. Austin Jackson's been open about this as well. So
right. It
was multiple rookies. A lot of people said that he broke Noah Igbinoghene's confidence too. Like that was, you know, so. And didn't seem like fired coaches left and right. Like, just didn't seem like he had a lot of time.
He had no patience for any of this stuff. He almost coached like a lot of former players, great players. And that is, they tell you to do something and they just expect that you do it, that you should do it. And they don't understand the development stage of that to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. Hey, do this. I want it done this way. And it's like, whoa. It's your job to coach
right. That
part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he almost felt like they should just do it.
Right.
But that's what plagues a lot of former players that coach, is that they are great players. They just assume if they tell you to do something, you're supposed to be able to do it that way.
Yeah, and I think it's a little swaying coming from a situation where you know nothing but winning, like at
sure that too, and that is, and here's what's crazy about that. A lot of coaches left Bill Belichick and thought they were going to be like him,
mm-hmm.
forgetting the most important part of that is that he still motivated players to go out and play a certain way, and for some reason. All the coaches that coached under him kind of missed that craft of the job.
Well, you've told a lot of Belichick stories. I don't recall you talking. Like, I know that him and Tom Brady kind of got frosty there at the end, but I don't recall you telling a lot of he was belittling stories.
No. Listen.
Because I think a lot of people are like under the impression, well, Bill Belichick, he comes from that season. Like, Bill Belichick is out here mother bleeping everybody.
No.
And we've done a lot of Bill Belichick stories on this radio show. I don't recall you ever telling stuff like that.
No, that's not, that's a lie. That's not true. That's not true. Now, he will tell you what needs to be done, but he would always, and here's the thing that people miss about Bill Belichick, that, you know, before every game, you know, when the coaches walk and dap you up?
Yes.
When you're stretching? He would go to each individual person, or maybe half of the team, and tell them something specific to what they were going to have to deal with in that game. Right? So while everybody says on the outside that he's this or he's that, that dude had you prepared to the smallest of detail to go out there and play. And I think what gets lost in all of that is his, people say he has no people skills. Well, that's because, you know, his interviews and his pressers and stuff like that. But ask the people, ask the players he played with, were you not ever the best prepared to go out and play a game as you were when Bill Belichick was your coach? And you don't have, listen, you don't have to like all the people you work with as long as there's respect. And as long as you guys are all being successful together. And I think as adults, you need to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I like a lot of people. Yeah, him feelings got hurt because he told me I better get my ass in gear.
And here's the thing. Like we've all known this. I don't really know what's come out new out of these last 24 hours, other than, you know what, Tua was at a point where somebody told him he couldn't make it professionally. They didn't think that he was going to be any good. He wanted to replace him with, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick or Brissett or whomever. Right.
But that's quick to come to that conclusion.
What do you mean?
That,
of course it is.
Right.
But okay. I think like the only thing that's here is like, look, Tua is on his little receipt tour because he just got $167 million guaranteed. This is his double middle fingers at a guy he does not like. And that's it. You know, like, this guy probably thought, no shot this kid's ever going to make it, going to make generational wealth, never going to be an NFL quarterback. Tua's peacocking here a little bit, and good for him. Good for him. But this is like, it's not like we got anything out of this that was surprising.
I told you. Tua, if you win a Super Bowl or MVP, I want you to go to the logo in the middle of the field and pull down your pants.
The Dolphins logo?
Yes.
Why?
Because all the people... Come on. We've been hearing this nonsense for 2 years.
You want them to moon the good fans?
No. You know the fans who know who
is for... I think this could get misinterpreted. I think this could get Joe bucked.
No. Just clarify.
Daddy loves you guys.
Yeah, there you go.
This is only an ingrate moon?
Yeah. Come on, man.
Attention, everyone who supported me. Close your eyes.
That's right.
For the bums out there... These cheeks are for you.
Right. But, I mean, just think of, come on, man. I think the biggest, to me, and I've said this, the most impressive thing that Tua has done is not even on the field. It's mentally being able to get through all of that nonsense his first 2 years and still be productive. Look at all the other quarterbacks. Look at the quarterbacks who mentally couldn't handle criticism. There's a boatload of them.
Sure.
Ryan Leaf. Who's the guy from Arizona that came here?
Rosen.
Right. Done. Like, they all thought they had talent, too.
Yep.
Right? Sure. One of the first and foremost things you have to be when you get to this level is you got to be mentally tough. Because no matter what you do, no matter how you do it, there's going to be criticism, and you got to just be able to handle it and move on.
Well, that's one of the things that's interesting about this, because anybody who thinks that he's not mentally tough to get over all this adversity is kind of a crazy thing to say,
right?
Like it's that to me is a blatant miss on anybody who thinks, oh, he can't. First of all, I mean, the guy got coached by Nick Saban in college, so like you're thinking that he's never been yelled at in his life.
He's definitely going to have some.
Like, there just seemed to be a personal level to this stuff. And again, he's not the only player that said this.
Right.
He's not the only player that said this.
Right.
That many rookies have said it in that draft class that he
but
was
just
in.
Think of how many careers.
Minkah Fitzpatrick up and left.
Think about this. Think of how many good football players you had on the team whose careers may have been ruined by this nonsense.
No, Igbinoghi is playing for the Commanders in the fourth quarter last week.
And guess what? I didn't know until you told me.
Woo!
Because didn't he get traded last year to Dallas?
He did.
And Dallas, like, that was quick.
Yep.
And he's still, what, 22?
Yeah, I think he's, I don't even think he can drink yet. I think he's Nico's age.
Right. Third year in the league, and he's still, like, so that's worth, you know, at least investing a little time in.
One would think.
Yeah, nope.
We'll take a quick break here on the program. We're streaming live on YouTube and Twitch, Miami 560 WQAM. Back after this.
What?
All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Your humming's getting worse. It really is. And it doesn't
I can only hum in English.
She's speaking English.
Wow, really?
Minus one.
Minus one.
Minus one.
Song is completely in English. It's her biggest hit.
I know.
Well, actually, it's her second biggest hit. Hips don't lie.
Hips
obviously.
Are, really? Oh, how dare you?
But this one obviously came first. So.
Yeah. Do you think you just did Hips Don't Lie?
Those hips are lying.
Frogs don't have hips.
Yeah, we got you. Box 10.
Delicious legs.
Frog boxed.
Delicious legs. You don't eat frog legs. You know that's seafood.
No,
right?
It tastes like chicken. No, it's not seafood.
It does not taste like.
That is not seafood, though. No, I've never had them.
That is the biggest lie ever.
People say that all
the time. What do you think something that's sitting in swamp water for their whole entire life, that don't taste like chicken?
Nah, that's what they say. Never tried it, though. Mm-mm. Never tried it. Gator, also never tried that.
Also.
Yeah.
I tried gator nuggets.
Mm-hmm. No, it's fishy.
It tasted like fresh water.
Right.
What?
Disgusting.
Is that bad? Mm-hmm.
And here, you some jackass is going to send in.
I like it.
It's how you prepare it. You have to do this. You have to do that.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I just eat something else.
A little bit of Crowder powder.
Crowder powder can't save that.
Somebody should do the move though. If a Canes got the Cajones, you know, up there for Gainesville. I love when somebody barbecues the gator for a game against Florida. I think that's classic.
You know who's trying? You know.
I love when they put the apple in the gator's mouth instead of the pig.
Oh yeah,
that's good.
Fines is trying to go to the game.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Well, he's gonna be up there.
Well, sorry.
Yeah. Mm. No, he's gonna be in Orlando.
He's gonna bring his jorts.
He's gonna be in Orlando.
Jorts.
Fine's too tall to have jorts.
Everybody wears jorts up there.
But he's too tall. He doesn't have the body type for jorts.
Can't wear jorts, huh?
I don't think anybody has the body type for jorts.
Only
for
John Cena. That is the only person who has pulled off jorts. Hey,
that's only because nobody tell him that he's not. You can't wear that.
He could do no wrong.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Didn't see him yesterday. Was looking though.
You were looking for Cena?
I was looking. I don't know. You know, I know he's on his final run. You never know when he's going to pop up.
I was watching because you know they were saying to Roberto Luongo he's bringing the cup back to Montreal after I guess he gets his day is Wednesday. They're doing the Canadian tour right now with the cup.
Yeah,
and Ekblad and Carter Verhaeghe.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Iggy, they got it on the golf course there.
Nice.
That's a flex.
That is a flex.
That's a flex. That's a flex.
And they showed them marking their golf ball with the Stanley Cup.
All I kept thinking about when I saw that was F.U. Brooks Koepka.
Oh yeah, so good, dude.
Which, dude, that had more legs than I thought it would. Yeah, right.
Boy, Brooks Koepka's like, he probably forgot about it. Like, once Brooks Koepka thought this, Brooks Koepka thought all this time, for 2 years, this beef was squashed. He goes, we're good. And then he gets right to the podium, gets the cup into his hands, and he's just like, have you, Brooks Koepka? And everybody loved it.
It really is the best, though, dude.
It would have been more of a story if
Brooks Koepka!
Woo! It would have been more of a story if he was actually playing on the PGA Tour regularly.
I would have loved him at the parade. That would have been great. If he's just like, what do you want me to do? I'm sorry.
Like they invite him to the parade, but yeah. the entire Gator, time it was just a it was up. Just a hoodwinking.
Gator yeah, Grill exactly. and Homestead is fire. Yeah.
Right. Really?
Dude, let me
I'm not driving a Homestead though.
Can I just grill? Say something?
Neither am I.
Can I just say let me explain to you guys where I'm from.
Even Jay Fig thinks that's
fine. I'm from a place where if it has a heartbeat, somebody will saute it over butter and garlic.
Yep.
So when I say no, like, believe me, I've been down this road.
I was reading that there's apparently something with python meat where, like, they're trying to put a warning out on some python meat because it might have too much, like, mercury or something in it.
Ah.
But these pythons, a lot of meat when you catch them.
Who's
eating?
Mm-hmm.
Invasive,
a 300-pound anything.
I heard you got to kill it. Like, you have to kill it if you find one.
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
I didn't know.
Why wouldn't you kill
it? You get money for it.
You mean, like, you think these guys are going to catch it and put it into the pet trade?
No, these
maybe they'll catch it. Like, you know, the Gators, they catch it.
You know,
the
they're catching them for the money and the skin, right?
Well, I think there's like a, I think the challenge is, I don't know if it's over yet, but I think it's this month, is they do the roundup challenge. Like, whoever gets the most or the biggest. You know?
Wow.
Remember we had that guy Dusty Crum on?
Oh
Dusty.
He almost cried when you said, I saw a raccoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
He was happy.
You got that?
I think I did.
Because he was like, you know, he really thought he was changing. I think he opened up a pizza shop, by the way.
Huh.
We're friends on Facebook.
Nice.
You know, I saw a raccoon for the first time in 5 years the other day in this spot that I've been hunting in. That was one of the happiest moments of my life. And it's like, yes, maybe we are making a difference.
Wow. Beautiful.
Well, it's a science.
Yeah, it is a science.
Hey.
Because he would go catch everything barefoot, too, in the Everglades.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
And he said you had to feel nature.
Crazy, dude.
Mm-mm. Feel nature.
I mean, he must be onto something because everything in the Everglades is designed to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
So if he did it barefoot, he must know something.
No, I know something.
Yeah. I won't be there.
Intangible! Like, you know, like.
We'll take a quick break. Back with more to this.
Check it out now.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQAM. Take you up until 2 here on the program. Dolphins will be back on the practice field in a matter of time here this morning, and then they head to Tampa, travel up to Tampa for a practice with the Bucks, and then we can wrap this puppy up and finally get to the end of this godforsaken preseason.
Oh, Friday. That's right. They don't play Saturday this week, right? Friday?
Nope, Friday. Friday, 7:30.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Friday at 7:30, my friend.
Nice.
You excited?
I'm kind of confused.
Why?
Because now with the structure change of these games, am I going to see more of Tua because we're close to the regular season? Or
nope.
Less of Tua?
Less.
Less of Tua. So then, no.
Less.
I didn't get to see Jalen Wright last game.
Nope.
I saw some flashes from Chop Robinson. I would love to see that again.
Play.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope to see a little bit better performance from Patrick Paul, although he still
had that one mistake. It was a big mistake, but it cost him.
Mistake. Of the Paul yeah. brothers on the field.
I mean, look, I'm telling you right now, what they're saying to him is, you're out of shape. Because that wasn't a technique thing. That was just I'm tired, I'm going to reach, instead of blocking with my feet, which he has pretty good feet. And so when you see that, it just looked like he was tired.
Mm.
And you know, I always wonder, Joe was talking about this earlier, that there's certain things you have to go through in camp that we don't go through now. And you go from 0 to 60 when the season starts or games time starts, and everybody wondering why we have all these soft tissue injuries. It's because you haven't played football yet. So there has to be a certain amount of football that you play before the season that I think at some point we're going to get back to. So to get guys ready. Like, you have to be tackled, you have to have the football stripped, you have to be able to block, you have to be able to do certain things that you have to do, because up until this point, there's a lot of guys on the Dolphins team and throughout the NFL that haven't actually played football yet. They practice, but they haven't played football. And you stop doing something like that for 6 or 7 months, like, you got to get back into the flow.
Did you guys hear, like, Mike McDaniel yesterday trying to, like, explain how he's trying to make things awful for his backup quarterbacks? Because I felt like that was hocus pocus verbal jujitsu.
No, is this him not wanting to see Any success from Mike White as well?
Yeah, I don't know. He was just like, it doesn't help me if they're in good positions. I'm like, it doesn't.
What?
Are you sure you're just not saying that because they've looked bad? And so you're like, well, it's on me. I put them in really, really, really bad positions.
Are they going to switch them this week?
I don't know.
They didn't
switch them last week.
I know. That's, you know, but
I think he felt bad for Mike White because Mike White had a wide receiver playing running back.
But the whole point of it is you have, in order to evaluate somebody, you have to put them in the same circumstance unless you've already made up your
mind. Not according to him. He thinks that if it just makes it, he wants to put them in the most stressful situations.
Well, I would, really, right? The reason why they're backups is because when they've been in those stressful situations, it didn't work out well.
That's true.
Right. So why would you, like, if you did it to Tua to see how he... Like, hey, these are moments and during the season or the game, things are going to happen. You know, like, get through it. But the backup guys, you want them to feel comfortable so you can see what you can and can't do with
them. Not according to him. He's a master manipulator, apparently.
No.
And this has nothing honestly, what the approach that I've kind of taken is to create super difficult situations for both of them. And as that manifests, you know, that's whether the play calling choice, the situations that I'm asking, you know, maybe them to do certain things specifically to put them in difficult situations, because what are we really trying to evaluate? We're trying to evaluate who's best to serve handling a difficult situation. Inherent in being a backup quarterback is that you are in a difficult situation, whether that's in game or starting a game. You know, and so we thought it was most appropriate to do that. And how that's presented itself in practice is I've gotten a ton of information, and there's so many different nuances that I'm trying to focus on a given day, and then carrying that message to the game. And it's much broader than do we go down as an offense and score. It's quite literally handling difficult situations and saying, hey, you have to go do this. I'm going to call this play probably against a non-premier coverage. And let's see what you do. You're going to play a quarter with a receiver playing running back. How do you respond? Okay.
When is that going to happen?
Hold on.
Hold on.
There's only one other person that makes me cuss, and that's you. But after that nonsense we just heard, I want to cuss.
So I just want to be clear here, just so we're clear. Mike McDaniel planned Chris Brooks getting a concussion?
Oh, yeah.
He planned his running back lead?
I think that's the whole thing.
Chris, I need this to, like, look good. I need to know.
He's like, hey, you think I wanted to put them in this situation? Like, it just got to happen.
But, hey, Chris, I need to get to really... I don't really know if Mike could handle if Tyreek Hill had to play running back. So I need you to act a little woozy. So I could put the FAU kid at it running back. We're going to see how he handles that. Because
meanwhile, your poor quarterbacks are getting killed. So, like, if
he's, you know what? Patrick Paul wasn't tired. Mike told him to take a dive. He goes, listen, Patrick, I need to know who can really hold on to the football when they get wrecked on their blind side. So here's what you're going to do. You're not playing this year anywhere. Who cares, right? You're going to look a little slow on the feet, and I'm going to see if Mike White holds onto this football.
Jeez. Listen to me. We're going to put Eichenberg at left tackle. he's multifaceted.
This guy is, see, this is the thing. Like, he goes above and beyond to protect his players. He's like, we all realize these guys, you know. Now, are we putting way too much focus on this?
Yes.
100%.
And the fact that he just went on for 5 minutes?
Yeah. Do you know who the backup quarterback is for the Bills?
No.
Do you know who the backup quarterback is for the Jets?
For the Jets? No, I don't.
Yeah. Neither do I.
Then why are we...
Neither do I.
Wait. Yeah.
Who's currently Patrick Mahomes' backup?
It's not Chad Henne.
It was Chad Henne.
No, it's not Chad Henne. It's not Chad Henne. He retired.
You know what? These are good questions, though. I feel like we did this before, and the backup quarterback was surprising at Kansas City.
The only backup quarterbacks I know in this league right now are the dude Minshew just beat out, Aiden O'Connell, just because he just lost his job.
What's his name just went to Philly? The Jets quarterback.
Who?
Isn't the Jets quarterback in Philly?
By the way.
Which one?
The Milf Hunter.
No, he's in Denver.
Zach Wilson's in Denver.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Kenny Pickett is their backup.
Kenny Pickett. There it is. Kenny Pickett's somebody. Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, I know Mac Jones is in Jacksonville because he's a loser.
Carson Wentz. Wow.
Carson Wentz is
back
backup
in Kansas City.
What?
That's crazy. That is crazy.
So, but wait. You brought this up.
What do you mean?
Mitchell Trubisky, backup quarterback in Buffalo.
Still?
Yeah.
We're still hanging on to Trubisky.
So
yeah, apparently.
So no. So yesterday, Uncle Crowder said, Hawk said, Colt McCoy retiring after 13 years, right? He played 55 games in 13 years. And I sent him a text. I said, at that rate, he would have to play 32 years of NFL football to play the same amount of games I played. And he made 10 times the amount of money I made.
Jeez.
Right.
What a life, man.
Yeah.
If you go into the NFL with the goal of, I'm going to be a second string quarterback or like a third string guy on the roster, pretty good.
Mike, come here. What's up, coach? All right, I'm going to let you go in for this series. All right. I'm going to let you have Jalen Waddle, but I'm going to kick you right in the shin. Why are you gonna do that? I need to know if you can, you know, tolerate it. You know, play through some adversity.
What's your pain threshold?
I'm gonna kick you right in the shin.
Tyrod Taylor for the Jets.
Tyrod Taylor, backup?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is?
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm looking at the backup situation across the
right. Why are we making a big deal about it?
Looks better.
Why do we care about Ryan Tannehill?
You'd rather have a Trubisky?
A Trubisky or a Tyrod Taylor? I think I may.
Really?
I think I may. Are they not the same? Is Skylar Thompson, Mitchell Trubisky, who's actually, hold on, pretty mobile, if I'm being honest.
No. The only reason why you care about Mitchell Trubisky because he was the second pick in the draft.
Yeah, so probably has the highest ceiling, but
then why is he
going for pedigree?
Then why is he a backup?
Trubisky, because he's not better than Josh Allen. But if Josh Allen goes down because he runs a lot,
no, because listen,
clumsy.
Whoa! Listen to this.
It's Trubisky 40 time.
When you have an opportunity to sign 4-6 as a quarterback,
it's crazy.
You first see if there's a place I can go where I have an opportunity to win a job.
Yeah.
Right. None of those existed. So then he went and became a backup.
Correct.
So all the other 31 teams said they would rather just do what they're doing instead of kick the tires on Mitchell Trubisky as a starter. That's why he's a backup.
Yeah, but 4-6, though.
4-6?
Yeah.
Is what?
That was his 40.
He could scoot.
That's not fast.
What? For a quarterback?
For a quarterback?
Intangible?
Intangible quarterback? I'm pretty good. How many intangibles hit 4-6?
Come on.
Now we got speed on the scale.
Okay.
Intangibles? Yeah, absolutely.
Is that why you guys get so excited about Bonner?
Yes.
Well, Bonner, I think, is actually like a 4-3 guy.
Yeah.
But that's, yes, for sure. A normal 4-3 guy, I'm just like, okay, this is a normal football player. Ethan Bonner, white lightning.
You know, there's a lot of, there's a lot of players who have been great who weren't considered fast.
Yeah, but were they white, though?
Just got you there.
Come on.
I mean, Wes Welker.
Oh, it wasn't fast.
Routes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just woof.
Hey, Sky. Come here. What's up, coach? All right, I'll let you go in. All right. And I'm actually going to give you a running back. Oh, thanks, coach. But first off, you got to give Calais Campbell a piggyback ride.
Attaboy.
Really? Wait. If you tried to give Calais Campbell a piggyback ride, his legs would be on the ground.
Don't lose.
So, right.
Like, classic.
Like, what? But you know what? I blame Mike McDaniel for this. What? You know why?
Why?
Because all that nonsense he just talked, now this is how Tobin's talk. And I got to deal with this. Don't just give shorter answers.
What I've decided for the quarterback competition is we're going to play American Ninja Warrior.
Yes.
See who my quarterback is.
Really?
You know what's interesting? You talked about Dolphins roster moves yesterday.
Yeah.
And you said old Twitter fingers is gone. And
yeah.
I thought you were talking about Blake Ferguson, the long snapper. I was like, the long snapper?
Like, no, but then when he explained, we're like, oh.
Yeah, that makes sense.
No.
Willie Snead got put on some fake IR. I don't know what he's on. He's gone, though.
He's gone.
He's gone.
But wait, what's crazy about that is, did he even play?
He was out there. He was out there. He was playing with Mike White. That's how Mike McDaniel made it hard on him.
That's when you know. You know what? Even as a pro, I knew when I moved up the, you know, it's like in college. When you're on the travel squad and you ain't got to run scout team, that means you're getting closer to the starting job, to play, right? When you go from, say, fourth quarter to second quarter, you're like, okay, they want to see what I got.
Willie, get over here. Hey, what's up, coach? I need you to go run a route for Mike White, but while you're doing it, I need you to tweet bad things about Tua while you run those routes.
Why, coach?
You know, I anticipated this question.
So here's the other thing. How we feeling? Because they're still, they signed a couple of running backs, but it's only for space.
I think it's to get through this game.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I'm not worried about it.
Now, still got a lot of decisions you got to make at wide receiver.
I think Jeff Wilson just has a broken nose or something like that.
Yeah, whoa. But again,
yikes.
Everybody, there's still a lot of decisions that have to be made in the running back room and wide receiver room. So right now, here's what they're trying to figure out. Can we use one of these young guys as a return guy? Because then we don't need Braxton Berrios.
I think the only guy that probably.
But I'm just saying,
the guy they've tried on punts is the sixth round pick, Malik Washington?
Yeah, Malik.
They've tried him. But I don't know.
Right. And these are the kind of decisions because they're going to bring in probably another offensive lineman and another defensive lineman at some point. Right? Whether it's, you know. But for all the other people, you got a lot of. I don't understand how all the wide receivers you have and nobody's playing.
I know. It's
all
weird.
The running backs you have and nobody's playing.
I know.
Right? So where are we with that?
Great practice for the tight ends.
Tight ends have been actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I knew that they were going to use Jonnu Smith that way, but I didn't know he was going to look that fluid.
He looks great.
He does. He looks very athletic.
I love when they do that little flip pass. It's my favorite. I love
the what?
When they just do the handoff, whoop, and just let him get the ball on the sweep.
Yeah.
The shovel, the little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, it doesn't even look like a, it's like a whoop.
Yeah.
Like it's like a hot potato.
Can I just tell you? That is, I've done those.
Dangerous game.
Because with the shovel pass, you're close to the line of scrimmage. You got to look at the football. So just think about, less than 2 yards away, you got 1,000 pounds of meat ready to knock you out. And you got to turn your back to him and look at the football. I sometimes hated screen passes because you got to look back and you can't see what's coming at you.
Mike. What, coach? All right. You're going to go out for the series, but you've been staring down your receiver. So what I want you to do, head on a swivel. I'm going to put a bumblebee in your helmet.
Wow.
Classic.
But wait, if Mike is going to reply, you are a bumblebee in my helmet.
That's not Mike McDaniel's way.
Back after that.
Right.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.